Okay. I'm so sorry. But I said I was talking for 15 minutes, and then I found out that no one was hearing anything. Tremendous Musa Haskell. So we're going to start again, and we'll try Be'ezer Hashem to hopefully have some clarity. Firstly, Ashkoyach to Agudas Yisrael of America for arranging this tremendous teleconference series for the sake of Aseret Meitshuva to Mechazek Klal Yisrael. Agudas Yisrael is always at the forefront of every Davish of Kedusha, and certainly the Mechazek Yidin is at the front of their agenda. So Ashkoyach to all those involved, all the Askanim, should be zecha to have a Gemar Chasim Mateva as a schus for all they're doing. Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it's 10 p.m. Well, now it's past 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? Your children are being involved in Mechazek themselves. After an entire month of Elul, or Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Meitshuva, Shabbos Shuva, and still looking for more chizuk, further chizuk. It's a true testimony to every one of you on this phone call. I'm sure I've heard many drushes, many words of chizuk over these past 5 weeks. The fact that we're still looking for more, because we always want to constantly keep on improving ourselves, that we're inviter, inviter, that itself should be a tremendous bracha for all of us. And through that, be zeicha tahaka, tahaka, have a gemar, gemar, chasima teiva. There was a study done on a graduating class in Harvard Business School. And they did a study, a poll of all the graduates, how many people had a clear, concrete plan for their business future. And of the ones they surveyed, 13% responded they had a concrete, realistic plan. And they had a follow-up question. How many of you have written that plan down? And to that, 3% said they actually wrote it down. Fast forward 10 years, they did a follow-up study. And on average, those who had a plan, the 13%, were making double the amount of the other 87%. But more incredibly, that of those 3% who actually wrote the plan down, they were making on average 10 times the amount of the others. The power of a plan and the power of writing it down. We've basically all been here before. We've gone through Aseret Meitshuva and the Shabbos Shuva. We look back and perhaps we don't see the pay raise of all those Aseret Meitshuvas that we've gone through. We need a plan. We need to write that plan both on the papers of our hearts and the papers we have in front of us to make it something which is real and meaningful. So I want to share a 3-point plan. Before we share this plan, I want to give 2 disclaimers. Number one is a word which is very much part of our vernacular. We use all the time. The word steig, to grow. That's the way it's simply translated. Ramatisio Salman Shlita, Shnevar Fuhr Shalema, says that word is really a misnomer. It's not to grow. The word steig should really be translated as to climb. Because to grow sounds like something which just happens by itself. You put a little water, a little sun, it just grows. Growth doesn't happen that way. It's climbing. Climbing is a standing in the bottom of the mountain. Climbing up the mountain, reaching the top, and then going for another mountain. Avodas Hashem is certainly sometimes difficult and challenging, and there's no quick fixes that I just push the button and everything changes. But a person who's constantly working on themselves and constantly climbing and pushing forward will take a see beautiful, wonderful, amazing peiros. And number 2, we're going to try to share Be'ezer Hashem a 3-point plan. But there's a 4th point which we're going to leave out. The 4th point is the part which every person will have to apply for themselves. I'm not zeicha to see any faces and who's on this wonderful call. But everyone has their own challenges, own difficulties, own things they're struggling with. And to be able to go and apply a plan of climbing to every person will take each individual, saying, how can I apply this to myself? We can talk globally, but the personal aspect is something which every person will need to do for themselves to see real, true peiros, which will come out of Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. And the 3 points are we can, we will, and we do. We can, we will, and we do. We can. Share an idea, something which very much talks to the heart of who we are and really needs an understanding into the psyche of ourselves, of human beings. And we all very much look to try to save money, certainly not to throw out money and waste it. And it bothers us when we see money being wasted. But there's something that we all see and we're all part of, we're all involved in, and seems to contradict this. And that's this wonderful concept called style. Something we're all familiar with. Something's in style today, and it's gone tomorrow. In style this year, next year it's out of style. And something that could be perfectly fine, and we'll put it away because it's no longer in style. Seems to be throwing out money day after day, year after year. And how do we understand where this comes from? Why we feel compelled to chase after these concepts and to be part of them. Rav Volba Zatzal, she has an incredible insight which will help us understand a part of ourselves and how we operate and think. Rav Volba goes on the Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara says, why was this world created with the letter Hey? And the Hey, with an opening on bottom and opening on the side, was the letter HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create this world with. And the Gemara says, because an opening on the bottom, we have Bechira, we have free will, a person can go and slip out the bottom of the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can leave this world and make a choice. And therefore, the letter Hey is an appropriate letter with the connotation of Bechira. Ask the Gemara, so why is there a second space? That space on the left side. Says the Gemara, that space was there so a person can return. That if Baruch Hashem, a person is Zeicha, to come back and re-enter the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has that space to go and re-enter and come back into. Ask the Gemara the obvious question, so why do we need two spaces? One space should suffice, that same space that a person left to come back into. Says the Gemara, because it's not going to work. One space to leave and come back is not going to work. And the question is, why not? What's wrong with that same space to be able to re-enter the Ilam HaRuchni, the Ilam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Rav Volba, that we look at this world and we think that it's 5,777 years old. And that's a misnomer. Because Baruch Hu recreates the world every single day. Machadish Betuva B'chol Yom Tamid. This world is recreated daily. And therefore the world around us is one day old. And yesterday was one day old. There's a constant chiddush, a constant renewal of the bria, of the creation itself. Why is this world constantly recreated? Because Baruch Hu put into the DNA of the world and to every single human being a constant desire, a bikush, for chiddush, something new, something different. Rav Volba says to look at the world of science, constantly coming up with new ideas, new innovations, new creations, new discoveries. If the scientist wouldn't discover something for years on end, he'll be out of a job. That's his job, that's what he's focusing on. The world of technology, Apple realized they can produce an iPhone every 6 months and sell it for $400 again, and people will buy it. There's a desire for chiddush, a pull for something different, something new. And that's what this idea of a person constantly wants something different, something new. Willing to go spend money, on something which is different, something which is new, something which is exciting. But says the Revolva, that a person makes a choice on a daily basis, where and how am I going to use this koyach hachidush, this koyach of always wanting something new and something different? Am I going to use it in the ruchniyus world, in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, constantly trying to better myself, constantly trying to climb further? Or is it going to be used in the simple, physical, materialistic world, constantly trying to find chiddush, something new, something different? Basically, so many of us have visited the homes of Chaim Kanievsky, of Aaron Leib Steinman, and we've seen a home which is simplicity at its best. And the feeling when you walk in there is, this place hasn't been updated probably this century and probably not the last. And there's a very simple reason. Yes, they live in the same world that we do, but they find their chiddush in different places. The chiddush is not in the Olam HaGashmi. The chiddush is in every area of going further in Avodas Hashem. And a person constantly is doing that, moving forward, they can use and find their chiddush in places so much greater, so much bigger, and so much deeper and more meaningful. So point number one is, yes, we do. We do constantly change. We are constantly changing. The question is, where is that change going to express itself? Where is it going to be found? Now leads us to point number two, we can. Because so often we struggle with the fact that last year, and the last year before, and the year before that, and the year before that, we tried and it didn't work. We tried to find chiddush, we tried to climb, we tried to find areas of new places of Avodas Hashem, and it worked maybe for a little bit. But it didn't become part of us. We didn't find real, lasting, permanent change. We can. We do have that ability. I want to share an incredible maral. Maral's in the drushes of Shabbos Shuva. Maral quotes a medrash, which compares Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov, as we know, is the Ish Cholok, is the person who was smooth. And Esav was Ish Seir, who's the person who was hairy. Says the medrash that this is a muscle of two people, a person with long curly hair and a person who is bald who walks into a granary, to a silo, and full of chaff that is floating around, and they spend some time in there. After some time, they walk out. The person with the long curly hair takes him hours and hours to comb it out. He's full of chaff all throughout his hair. And the person who's bald takes one swipe and it's all gone. Says the Medrash, that's how it's possible for a Yaakov, for a Klal Yisrael to come to a Yom Kippur. Because we're nimshal to that person who's bald. Just take a swipe and it's all gone. Explains the Maral, because that's what Klal Yisrael is. Averis don't become part of who we are. They're not entangled inside of us. They don't define us. And therefore we have the ability to swipe them off, to make them just go away. That's how it's possible for you to come to Yom Kippur. And therefore, Abayis say we can, we have that ability. And the Maral continues and says, that's why there's two seders, two goats that are born in Yom Kippur. One's La'azazel, and was brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Maral says the reason why goats were chosen, because we know from the story of Yosef HaTzadik, goat's blood was what the brothers chose to dip the cloak into, because that was similar to human blood. And therefore they use that for representing a human being. The Maral says one of those goats is placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because that's where Klal Yisrael belongs. The default of Klal Yisrael every single year is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or Ish Kodesh. And the second one is thrown off a cliff outside of the Machane, because the various are outside of us. They're not part of us. No connection to who we are. Klal Yisrael is Kodesh, inherently Kodesh. On the train to Treblinka, full of Yidden, there's one person who stood out, a tall, blonde, blue-eyed. And someone asked him, what are you doing here? You look so different. And he responded, he was really a Ger Tzedek. And the story of his gerus took place one night. He was walking in his town, and he sees hundreds of people walking out of the building. He didn't realize it was Matzah Yom Kippur, and they were leaving to say Kiddush Levana, dressed in their kittels and their talis. He said, I looked at these people, and I said, I want to be part of them. He said, that moment was a changing moment in his life. I said, even though when the Nazis came to round up their town, he had the ability to slip into and just blend in to all the Nazis around him. He said, those same people who I saw and I wanted to be part of then, I want to die with them as well. Because that's Klal Yisrael, that's the Kedusha that we are and that we have. So yes, we do change. We're constantly changing, and we can. Because everything that we may have done is not who we are. It doesn't define a Yid. It doesn't define the very essence of every single Yid. And that leads us to the third point. We do, we can, and we will. How will we? How will we have the ability to make this a Aseres Yimei Teshuva, something which looks totally different than anyone in the past? And there's a beautiful idea brought into our Semes, which talks to the heart of what these days are all about. And he says on the pasuk that we say every day in davening, Hu asanu v'loy anachnu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you created us, v'loy anachnu. And loy, as we know, as the queen exiv, there's a loy with an aleph and loy with a vav. Most Siddurim have brought down these two spellings. Says the Tzvas Emes, the Elul is a loy with a vav, a loy with an aleph put together. Hu asanu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you created us, v'loy anachnu. Loy, we are nothing. Loy anachnu, Klal Yisrael, as individuals, as people, we taka are nothing. And says the Tzvas Emes, when a person taka feels his own desires, ritzonos, things that he wants, are meaningless, are nothing, then it becomes loy anachnu, loy with the vav, Takadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really the ultimate job of what it means to climb through this world. When a person says, it's not about my ritzonos, my desires, things that I want, the change is constantly happening, I'm constantly doing, the chiddush I'm trying to find, it's not about my, what I want, what I'm interested in. V'loy anachnu, it's the Yu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My only desire in this world is to create, we be Kriyat Shemayim, do things which are part of your Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what these days are all about. I want to end with an incredible story. That a Yid, name was Yisrael, was stolen the Chassid. He was known in the stolen world as a tremendous help to the Meisters of Stalin, wealthy individual. And he came once to the stolen Rebbe. And he was taken in. The Rebbe asked him, what do you want the bracha for? He says he wants the bracha for continued arichas yomim and continued ashiras, continued wealth. And the Rebbe then asks him, he says, can you tell me the history, the story of where the wealth came from? And he says, this goes back to when I was 15 years old in the town of Stalin. He says, Yerzeida, the Beis Aaron, the famous Beis Aaron of Stalin, was the Rebbe then, and it came in the beginning of Chodesh Tishrei, around Rosh Hashanah time, and there was a tremendous, difficult snowstorm. And the entire town of Stalin was blanketed in snow. And then it warmed up a little bit, and then it froze over, and the entire town was then covered in a thick, thick sheet of ice. And it came closer to Sukkot, and the people of the town felt there was no way they could build the sukkah. The town covered in ice. They couldn't even chop through. And no way to build sukkahs. And the one who was most devastated was the Beis Aaron himself. And it's discussed that Yisrael says, came the morning of Erev Sukkot, and I went to the house of the Beis Aaron, and I stood outside his house with an ice pick, and I started chopping away at the ice in front of his house. Hour after hour, so I finally formed a small place to build the sukkah. And then I knocked on the door of the Beis Aaron, and I took him outside and showed him the place we can build the sukkah now. And his face lit up. and he offered me a bracha at that time. He says, I can give you a bracha to sit next to me in Gan Eden, or I can give you a bracha for Ashiris for wealth. And at that moment, I chose the bracha of wealth. Stolner Rebbe looks at this person and says, my Zayda the Vesaron offered to sit next to me in Gan Eden, you chose the bracha of wealth? And this chassid responds, I also thought. And I also, those thoughts went through my head as well. But I thought if I choose to sit next to the Bessaron in Gan Eden, who is going to gain from that? Who will that benefit? It will benefit me. But no one else. And I said, if I choose the bracha of Ashirus, I can use that to benefit so many people. I can support the Ramanis and Yisainim and people who do Aniyim. And I realized that gives me an ability to be Marvei Kreid Shemayim with everything I do. And if I chose the bracha of Ashirus. And the Rebbe looks at this chassid and says, you chose well. You should continue the Arichas Yamim and continue the Ashirus. Rebbe said, that's what it's all about. Everything we're doing, everything we're involved in, the chiddush that we're trying to find is all about what can I do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can I use everything I'm doing, everything I'm involved in, L'man Hashem, to be Marvei Kreid Shemayim? So Rabbi say we can. We do change, we can change, and we will change. Now it's up to us to write in the fourth part. Where is that going to apply? How am I going to apply it into my own life? Which detail am I going to find? Al-Kreich HaChidush. And where am I going to be able to go find the place to Marvei Kreid Shemayim, to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything that I'm doing? And Rebbeinu Shalom should help. Yishtakeh fill in that fourth thing, both on the papers of our hearts and the papers in front of us. Through that Bizeicha, to a Gemar Chasim HaTeva, filled with Shefer, Bracha, Vatzlach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemim Alam, Mishal, Slipcha, against all our Tfilas, the Teva, Bizeicha, to a Gemar Chasim HaTeva, good Kibbeh, and Shiai Shekhaya, for listening. Have a wonderful night.